3 and 4. I'm not going to read both chapters, but I want to talk to you just a few minutes tonight about holy boldness. Holy boldness. Amen. Some of the things that are happening in our world right now, in our nation right now, the spirit of the age that is, as we mentioned this morning, is opposing the things of God, this anti-Christ, anti-truth, anti-Bible spirit that seems to be very prevalent in our world today, was also prevalent in the age, in the New Testament, in the book of Acts. That same resistant spirit, just as much at work then as it is today. If you remember that the outpouring of Pentecost was in the city of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was under the dominion of the Roman Empire. Not only that, but they had the opposition of the whole Jewish system that was rejecting, for the most part, rejecting Jesus as Messiah. And then there was also the Greek culture and the influence that was there in that world at that time. And so there was opposition from so many different directions. That was the kind of a world that the Spirit of God was poured out upon those early disciples. And Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2 gives the account of this wonderful outpouring of Pentecost. And that message that was given to those early disciples was the message telling them, go to Jerusalem, stay there, wait until you're endued with power from on high, because there's no way you can face the challenges without it. You're not going to be able to do it without the power of the Spirit of God. So go there and wait until you are endued with power from on high. And then Acts 1 and 8, after they received the Holy Ghost, they received power to proclaim, to witness. The word there literally means to be martyrs, to be willing to stand for God, even if it meant lay down your life. And so that experience of Pentecost came to the early church so that they would have power to face the opposition, the challenges of their day. They needed holy boldness. They really did. They needed a supernatural boldness to be able to do what they were doing. Then when you get to Acts chapter 3, there's this notable miracle that takes place. When they went up, Peter and John goes up to the temple at the hour of prayer. And there was a certain man that was there who was lame from his from birth, it says, verse 2, from his mother's womb. And he was carried, whom they had laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. So he was a fixture at the temple in the city. Most everyone knew who he was. He'd been there all of his life. And they all knew that he was lame. They all knew that he was lame from the time that he was born. The whole city knew about him. Hardly anyone that did not know this lame man, and that he was positioned there at the temple every day to receive a little bit of a handout, to receive alms. That day he was asking for alms. Peter and John said, we don't have alms, but what we do have, and all of this was the result of Acts 1 and chapter 2, the outpouring of Pentecost, Peter's message on the day of Pentecost. And then he had power with God and boldness. Remember, this is the same Peter that was a blunderer, that messed up, that proclaimed he would never deny the Lord and then denied the Lord. And the same Peter, and now filled with the Holy Ghost and has this amazing boldness and stands up on the day of Pentecost and preaches that first Pentecostal message on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls are converted that day, and it's the same Peter that goes up to the temple at the hour of prayer and says, such as we have, such as we have. We don't have money, but such as we have, we are going to give unto you. We're going to give it to you. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Everyone else was satisfied to give him a few little coins. Everyone else just had gone through the routine of just giving him a little bit to satisfy his cries for help. But that day, a real solution was coming that was going to literally upend the whole city and the temple and all that gathered in the temple. Everything was going to change, including the religious system of that day, who had heard what they were doing and witnessed their power and heard the uproar of the city and this great miracle that took place. Now let's read in chapter 4. And it says, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people. The word there, grieved, in some of the translations, means that they were greatly annoyed by what they were doing. Greatly annoyed, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was 5,000. 3,000 souls were saved. Now 5,000 men believed, all because of the boldness of those disciples to reach out and to raise that man up from his position of being lame and crippled all of his life, and that amazing miracle, and then their explanation of it to them as they preached Jesus to that crowd that gathered there in the temple that day. Their boldness resulted in the kingdom being built. Amen. Boldness builds the kingdom. Boldness builds the kingdom. Amen. Now, a lot of you are probably somewhat like me. As a young person, I was so bashful and shy that I didn't want to get up in front of people. I didn't want to do anything that would call attention to me. And when they made me do it, I did it. Sometimes in youth service, they'd make me take the offering. And I was embarrassed. I didn't want to do it, but I did it. And then I remember how horribly it was when they said, some of them came around and they knew that I probably wouldn't say yes. And so they went to my authority, my mom. And they said, we're putting together a quartet of young people, and we want Vernon to be a part of that. And so my mom took care of that. She was the boss. And she said, you're going to sing. They said they want you to sing, so you're going to sing. And I did not want to do it. I was so resistant to it. I did not want to do it. But finally, under extreme pressure, I gave into that and got up there and sheepishly sang as best I could with the other three people. Oh, you know how it is when young people do stuff. It was like a big hit, you know. And here we had to sing again and again and again and again. And I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. When I went to Bible school, I was satisfied to be in the background. And I didn't want to be. But all the while, the Lord was talking to me. He was dealing with me. He was talking to me about the work of God, the ministry, preaching the gospel, and all of those things that were so beyond my natural inclination. But yet the Lord was talking to me about it. Amen. And as a young person, about 15 years old, in a revival meeting, I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it really made a difference. It really did make a difference. As a matter of fact, I know that some of you have heard my testimony of when I received the Holy Ghost, that I didn't want to be in front of everybody, so I asked a couple of men, would you go in the back of the church into a Sunday school room where no one is there? I don't want people watching me pray. I was so proud, so full of pride. And so we did just that. We went back. They said, okay. A couple of the brothers went with me back into one of the back Sunday school rooms, and we began to pray and calling up on the Lord, asking the Lord to baptize me in the Holy Ghost. And sure enough, he did. And I was filled with the Holy Ghost, spoke with other tongues, and laid on my back in that Sunday school room speaking in other tongues. And while I was speaking in tongues, I was doing this. I was doing what I do now. I was pointing and I was gesturing as I was speaking in tongues, and the Spirit of God was upon me, and I was doing what I was not naturally inclined to do. Praise God, by the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That doesn't mean that I got over my shyness and my pride all that quick, but I want you to know that it is only because of the mercy of God and the Spirit of God that any of us are ever to do anything that causes the kingdom to advance. But that's what happened. Remember, Peter was one big mistake. He was a big failure and made many, many blunders. But yet, he was handpicked by the Lord and baptized in the Spirit, and then was raised up to be the leader in the early church that he became. And it was because God filled him with the Spirit and he received holy boldness. Amen. The ability to speak up and to stand up and to be what God would have us to be. Amen. We need holy boldness in this generation right now. We really do. Boldness defined: willingness to take risk, courage, confidence, boldness that's used several times in our text here in chapter 4. The word, the Greek word, it means outspoken, frank, confident. Amen. Amen. There needs to be a bold voice that's speaking for God in this generation. I mentioned this morning how emboldened that this culture is, this society is. They don't care to stand up for what they believe in. And they're outspoken in every area of media and radio and TV and movies and everything. They're proclaiming their agenda in every possible way. They are bold to proclaim, and what they are proclaiming is wickedness and ungodliness and everything that opposes the things of God and the Word of God. And they are so bold to stand up for what they believe in. But God give to the church, the Pentecostal church, the New Testament church, a holy boldness so that we can speak up in a generation, a society that doesn't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear the Word of God. They don't want these things to be proclaimed. But if we speak with boldness and allow the Lord to use us, then that boldness is going to build the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, boldness is not being obnoxious. Boldness is not having a bad attitude. It's none of those things that's associated with a worldly interpretation of that. But it's everything to do with being godly and filled with the Spirit and strong and confident and gaining our confidence in God and being willing to speak up in a world where it's easier to be quiet. It's easier to step back in the shadows in this particular age that we're living in. But we need to be willing to allow the Lord to help us to be bold, to speak out against sin, to speak out against the things that are going on in our world today. Stand up for what is right, be a Christian, stand for Jesus Christ. That's what they were doing in the book of Acts. That's what Peter and John did. Now notice what happened. Verse 5, Acts chapter 4. It came to pass on the morrow. Now they've been put in prison, even though there are 5,000 people that have been influenced, yet they are imprisoned overnight. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers, the elders, the scribes, Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest. Now this was a big, intimidating group of people. They were influential. They were powerful. And they gathered together. They united together. Isn't it interesting how that the ungodly and the wicked can unite together in their common cause? And the church is kind of, you know, not so united. Amen. The world gets all together. And that's what happens here. They all get together. Every one of them, even in their kindred, they brought their relatives and they brought in all of these that are a part of the Sanhedrin court and brought them all into this meeting with Peter and John. And when they had set them in the midst, so you can just get the picture. It's a big crowd. It's probably a big circle of them. They're all surrounded and they took them out in the center court of this. And everybody surrounding them opposed them. They all hated them. They were all their enemies. And they knew that they had the power and the authority to arrest them and probably even take their life. They understood that. They understood what they were up against. They set them in the midst and then asked them, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" The "this" that they're talking about is the man that was lame and now he's walking. And a little bit later on in the text here, you'll see that he was with them. He was standing with them. I don't know if this was by his choosing or if he was brought there by the court, the Sanhedrin, and all of these so-called religious leaders, but he is there with them. And they said, "What about this man? How did you do this? By what power and what authority did you do this?" Now, this was intimidating, and it was intimidating enough that it would have shut up most of us. We would have kind of cowered back and been afraid to really speak up in this situation, but not Peter and John. They have been given a touch of the Spirit of God. There has been such a work in their life, a transforming work in their life, that they have holy boldness. Praise God. Holy boldness. Amen. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ," and you can just see the expression on the face of all of those leaders and all of those that are a part of that court that day when they mention the name of Jesus Christ. I mean, they cringe. They cringe. Amen. They don't want to hear it. But Peter is bold enough that he says, "It's by the name of Jesus Christ whom you crucified." Now it's really getting personal. "You crucified him whom God raised from the dead. Even by him doth this man stand here before you whole." Praise God. You talk about some courage, some boldness to stand up and not only say this man is alive because of the healing power of Jesus Christ And not only is he alive, but he's healed by the very same Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth, that you crucified him, but yet God raised him up from the dead. They didn't want to hear any of that. The resurrection and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the stone which was set at naught. This is verse 11. Of you builders. They were saying, this is the Jesus that you rejected and crucified. You rejected him and you crucified. But he has become the head of the corner. Praise God. I'm telling you now, this is some pretty strong and powerful words that Peter is speaking. And it's obvious he is not fearful. He is bold. He is strong. He is courageous. And he is telling them the truth. It is not what they want to hear, but it is the truth of God's word. It's the truth that he is telling them. And then he goes a step further, verse 12. He says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let me tell you, there is a lot of angry religious people there that day. And they are fuming. They're turning red in the face. They are so angry at what Peter is saying. And how that he is just unfolding the truth before them with great courage and great boldness. But notice verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, holy boldness catches the world off guard. Amen. It catches the world off guard. When you're willing to stand up for Jesus on the job, whenever you're willing to stand up for Jesus with your unsaved family members, when you're courageous enough to stand up for Jesus in whatever social type of situation that you find yourself in, don't be ashamed of the Lord, but be bold and allow, understand that God wants to give you an amazing, holy boldness. It says that this experience, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they knew that this was not their natural ability. It wasn't their natural inclination. They were ignorant. They were unlearned. They knew that they weren't trained to speak. They didn't have the power, you know, to capture people with their speaking abilities or to impress people with their speaking abilities. They knew who they were. They knew that these disciples were just commoners. They understood that they were commoners, but something had happened to them. Something had changed them. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Praise God. Holy boldness builds the kingdom of God. Holy boldness comes because of the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what happened to Peter that changed him into this bold man of God that he was here in Acts chapter 4. Holy boldness comes when you have evidence of the power of God in your life. Here he is. He's standing right beside me. He was lame. He was crippled. And the whole city knew who he was and knew the condition that he was in. But now he's standing with us. Holy boldness comes when we have evidence of the power of God in our lives. Holy boldness comes when you have been with Jesus. Amen. When you have been with Jesus. If you find yourself struggling with courage and confidence, not willing to really step out for the Lord, you need to spend some more time in the presence of the Lord. More time in the presence of Jesus. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Holy boldness silences the opposition of the world. Amen. I'm not talking about my ability to shush them up. I can't do that. But when it's really holy boldness, Holy Ghost inspired, when you've been with the Lord, when you have the evidences of God's power at work in your life, that will shut the mouths of the world. They won't know what to do against that circumstance. Amen. So you know that these religious people are completely turned around. They do not know what to do. They have been completely set on the defense. And so it says that they conferred among themselves. They had a little meeting. What are we going to do about this? We can't let this go. We cannot allow these men to speak disrespectfully to us. We can't allow these men to honor this man, Jesus. We can't allow all these things. They conferred, it says, with each other. What shall we do to these men? And then they warned them that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Amen. So they think, this is going to take care of it. This is going to solve this problem. We're going to tell them, listen, don't ever speak in the name of Jesus again. Do you think it worked? Oh, no. Not with Peter and John, and it shouldn't work for us. In a culture that doesn't want to hear about God or hear the things of God, they don't want to hear about the truths of God's word, Peter answered and said unto them, verse 19, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. For when he had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how that they might punish them because of the people. For all the men glorified God for what had happened. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. He's older than 40. He's been placed there at that gate since he was young. And he's been in that condition all of his life. And now things have changed in Jerusalem. Things have changed at the temple. And they are wanting to silence. They threaten them to silence them. So then they just go to the church. They go and gather with the rest of the saints of God. And they gather together and to take counsel together. And they decided, let's have a prayer meeting. Let's pray. And so they prayed. Verse 29. Now, O Lord, behold their threatenings. Behold that they're threatening us. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness that we may speak thy word. Holy boldness comes when the church prays. Amen. When the church prays together. Amen. It comes by the power of the Holy Ghost. It comes when there is an evidence of God's power at work in your life. It comes when it's obvious that you have been with Jesus. And holy boldness comes when the church agrees together in prayer. Hallelujah. And so they prayed and said, Lord, give us boldness. Give us boldness by stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, had they been filled with the Holy Ghost before? I would think so. I would think so. All of them may have, but this was a renewing, a refilling of that glorious experience. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah. That's the word you'll see throughout this chapter 4. That God was using the church through holy boldness. An ability to speak the truth in a society, a culture that hated the truth. But they were strong enough and courageous enough to stand up. And it was the working of the Spirit of God in their lives. They gave them the ability to do it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord grant unto his church right here at First Pentecostal Church, from the preacher to the deacons to the singers to every man, every woman, every young person, a touch of his Spirit in our life. that we spend time with Jesus and we receive a holy boldness so that we can speak up for the Lord in a world that does not want to hear about him. God, give us that kind of boldness. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that something that you really recognize you have need of? So many people in our world and even in our area here. I know we're a community with lots of churches and a lot of religious experiences that people have had, and that's fine. But what they need to hear is the truth that's spoken to their personal circumstance and their need, and they need some people who have the courage to speak the truth in love. Amen. A holy boldness. Amen. Praise God. It transformed the church. It transformed it. It was from this holy boldness that the church just exploded with the power of God. Many people were added to the church every day. Daily they were added to the church. Hundreds and thousands of people coming into the kingdom of God because they went from house to house preaching the word of the Lord. They were in every synagogue. They were in every public place preaching the word of the Lord. And their boldness gave them the ability to change things. Everywhere they went, they turned communities upside down. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Lord, grant unto us here at First Pentecostal Church holy boldness. Amen. To witness to our world, to be used of God, to witness and to speak the truth to this world that doesn't want to hear about Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, do a work in us, we pray, here tonight. We pray. Hallelujah. Amen.